Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the How to Lead podcast, helping you unleash influence wherever you are. My name's Adam Tarno. I'm joined by Clay. Clay, we're going to start a little mini series again here. We're going to do two episodes on this idea of quiet quitting. Where were you the first time you heard this phrase, quiet quitting?
Well, I'm not on LinkedIn near enough, evidently, because you've been talking about it on LinkedIn, which when you told me that today, I was like, oh gosh, where have I been? For weeks.
Yeah.
I heard it this morning and I subscribed to Morning Brew and I saw the headline, but I resonated with it so deeply because I've had three or four conversations around it without using the term. I was at our family went to the beach with some a family friend, a guy that I went to high school with. He's an attorney at a law firm and he's made partner. Just, you know, he's 44 and he hustled, he grinded and he made partner. And then we're just talking about this next generation, how different it is. And he said, man, I had the most bizarre experience last week. I tell this girl, she's a junior attorney. She's like incredibly sharp, super smart. She's on this project I'm working on. I told her, hey, here's something that we need done and I need it by the end of the week. And she looked at me and said, that doesn't work for me.
Hmm.
And he was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Because he had never done that. He said yes every single time. So did I for 20 years.
Story.
Yes. I said yes over and over and over again. And so anyway, all these situations have popped up that have made me realize, man, this is a thing right now. This is an issue. So what do we do? So we're going to talk this episode about how do you manage quitters, quote unquote? How do you manage people that have quietly quit? And then in the next episode, we'll talk about, okay, if you find yourself in a position where you go, you know what, I resonate with this and I've kind of quit. And so I'm having to learn how to put up boundaries and tell my boss no. How do you actually do that?
Yep. That's good. And some of these are really great, healthy conversations, right? The conversation,
that's right.
I mean, this conversation has been around for years with work-life balance. How do you maintain like with self-leadership? How do you take care of yourself? How do you establish healthy rhythms in your life? How do you have good, healthy boundaries? And so it's all kind of come together under this new, trendy, kind of edgy title, right? Which is, I'm a quiet quitter. And so some of this we just need to keep in perspective that it sounds pithy and it looks cool, but I think there are some really good conversations to have here. But okay, so let's talk to the manager.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Sorry, would you read I think maybe to set it up, that quote from, was it a New York Times article?
Yeah, New York Times. If you just go out there and Google quiet quitting, it's one of the first articles that pops up. But this is just some people talking about what it is. And so this term quiet quitting is where you're not outright quitting your job, but you're quitting the idea of going above and beyond. And then another quote here from somebody else that put some videos, and they were just pulling quotes from TikTok, honestly, here. You're still performing your duties, but you're no longer subscribing to the hustle culture mentality that work has to be our life. And so if you really dig down and try to understand what people are saying under that term, that's where I go, okay, there's probably some good things in there, some healthy conversations to have with all of that. So it's not people that are not performing the bare minimum of their job, or that's what they're doing. They're basically just going, hey, I'm going to do what I'm paid to do, but I'm not going above and beyond, and I'm not going to do this, subscribe to the hustle culture anymore, which has been enormous over the last, 5 or 10 years. So
that's great.
Okay. So some things to think about. We would just want to give managers. So you've got some people on your team that you think maybe this is them, this is describing them. You feel at a loss. You don't know what to do. So we want to give you three quick things just to think about to help you maybe get unstuck, give you a direction. And so the first one is this, is we've just got to recognize things are different. Things are different right now, right? And this is the season that we're in. And so we can't bury our head in the sand and just go, well, back in my day, and I'm just going to wait until it's back to my day. No, this is, things are different and you've got to be able to recognize that.
Yeah, we've got to accept the new reality. And that's, I know that's hard for people when you're like, well, what if the new reality is not good? Well, then you can work to try to change it, but you can't change anything that you're not willing to admit to, right? So you, at the very basis, you do have to accept the fact that it is what it is. I'm not saying you have to accept it and be okay with it, but you have to accept the fact that this is a strong desire in the new workforce.
That's right.
That they are not in it for the same motivation that you were in it for. You know, this we created this experience for people called the Team Engagement Sprint, where we try to help people identify what are you motivated by, because not everybody is motivated by the same thing. We all have different motivations. And if you subscribed, like you and I did, to that hustle culture, We were motivated by upward mobility. We were motivated by making more money. We were motivated by more accolades and achieving more and winning. And some people just, that is not what they're in this thing for. They're in it for a lifestyle. They're in it for, hey, my job is not my life. My job is not my world. I just see work differently. We have to accept that that is the new reality.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to, and this is the reality. I think it's good for us to say for today. And it may That's be right. different in 4 or 5 years. When I get together with leaders and I talk about some of this post-pandemic, the relationship between employee and employer has always been fragile and tenuous. Post-pandemic, this relationship is very different right
That's
now.
Good.
And I mean, honestly, some of this is just because jobs are plentiful. Right. So it is a, these are things of luxury and abundance that are allowing us to think about different things. You think about the hierarchy of needs, right? That we learned, we're all searching for self-actualization right now,
right?
Because we can't, because so many other needs are being met. So some of this, yeah, they're different right now. And so it's best just to recognize this is where it is now. And this has always been a tenuous relationship, but try to make it as healthy as you possibly can. I really do think about a marriage relationship in some ways, right? That two people getting together trying to live under the same roof is always tenuous. And so you just got to, you can't ignore it. You just got to talk about it.
And people change. People have different desires over time. And that's okay. You got to pay attention to that. You got to be willing to accept that we're not all in the same place that we once were.
Yep. So I think that's first for managers is you got to recognize, okay, this is something that I got to start thinking about. Now, the second thing that you would do, and again, this is not going to blow anybody away, but this could be really, really helpful. This is something you can put on your to-do list and do, which is start asking questions and listening to what people are saying. And so you had an example recently of somebody that you were talking with, I think at a golf course, right? That in the way that they were trying to ask and listen and make some changes. And so why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I'll hold on to that. I'll share that in just a second. Let me share this other situation that I find myself in. I was it was a younger 20-something who was coming to me for advice, which was really cool. You know, I felt very honored, and obviously, I spent 20 years in the church world and full time ministry, and so this person was working at a local church, and he had graduated from seminary. He was hoping to get a job there. He had done their intern program. And I knew all this. And he said, hey, I got some, you know, I'm kind of at a crossroads. I'd love to get together with you and just, you know, see if you can help me think through how I should process this. So once, by the time we met, the situation had already, he had already made his decision. But even listening to his process on how he was thinking about it, it was on one hand baffling. And on the other hand, I thought, way to go. But basically what it was is he was waiting and waiting and waiting for them to approve a job, for them to offer him a job. And then they finally did. And I was like, man, way to go. Congrats. You did it. And he goes, oh, no, no, no. I actually turned it down. And I'm like, I'm sorry. What?
What?
Do you not like living indoors and eating, right? You know, but he said, well, the location that this job was in was not a location that I wanted to live in. It was not near where my friends were living. I was going to have to either choose to live there and commute to hang out with people, or I was going to have to live with the people that I'm, all the roommates that I've got, and then commute out to the job. And I just didn't think that would be a real healthy situation for me. And I, you know, of course I'm going like, wait, it was a little bit like record scratch. Like, wait, yeah. So you just turned it down? You just said no? Like, is that possible? Because you and I, again, I never did that. Anytime it was, hey, we need you to do this. We need you to go here. We need you to say yes to this. It was, yes. How high, you know, you want me to jump? How high? Yes, sir. Exactly. And so for me, it was, you know, I felt that exactly what you said, that just asking and listening was so, I had to make myself stop and go, well, let me try to understand what you're feeling and where you are, because everything in me wanted to be like, okay, let me grab you by the shoulders and be like, listen, that's not the way the world works. When they say, this is the job, you say, yes, I'll take it. And you show them gratitude and excitement, and that's it. But that's not, he didn't have to do that. He's going, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that job. And part of me was like, man, I'm torn. Way to go, I guess. I mean, yeah. I didn't come to that conclusion until I was in my 40s. And
yeah,
20,
in some ways, it's like people are just listening to everybody's advice, which is live in accordance with your core values. And so that is really what I think about that situation that you were just alluding to there and talking about. I mean, that person through this decision realized one of the highest values in their life was the geographic location that they lived in, and they would prefer to find a job that is closer to that geographic location so they can stay connected to those relationships.
That's right.
Probably couldn't have articulated that when he was started the interview process, but as it played out, it finally came to, oh, this is a really high value for me. And that may be the conversation that we need to engage in, or that I would encourage a manager to engage in with their team, is don't assume you know what people value. And
that's good.
And so the best way to figure that out is to sit down and ask big open-ended questions like, hey, I know this is a hard question, but how do you think about your career? Right? Like, so you're here now and we're paying you and you're doing good work. Do you think about where you may want to be in 5 years? What are you looking for out of a job? And don't judge what they're saying. Just take those as clues.
That's great.
Because when we get to our third point here on compromise in a moment and adapting, these are great clues for you to know what does this person value? And as you talked about, because what they're valued, that's what they're going to be motivated by. And so we can't just assume we know that stuff.
The pandemic really should have taught us this, Adam. I know. I mean, I think it taught a lot of us this, right? That people's decision-making grid these days could be anywhere. I mean, it could be all over the map. You have no idea, right? I mean, even today, when I see somebody wearing a mask, you know, I heard a comedian the other day talk about when he sees somebody wearing a mask now, he's like, do you not realize those are out of style? Like, that was so last year, right? Which is funny. But you never know. You don't know what the decision is on why they're wearing it. And instead of just to go, oh, this is ridiculous, whatever, to go, let me listen and understand. And who knows what you might find? You might find maybe they've got something in their own life. Maybe they're living with someone. Maybe they're afraid of something. Maybe they have an experience in the past. Who knows? But exactly, I love what you just said, that you cannot assume that you know. That if you'll just stop and ask and listen. You know, this attorney friend of mine, when he stopped and goes, well, I just want you to know this is going to limit your upward mobility. And this junior attorney goes, that's fine. That's not a desire of mine. Wait, what? Like now, I mean, that changes the whole conversation because, oh, now I'm realizing you are operating from a different set of values. Whether those are right or wrong, good or bad, they are what they are. And you are not any better because you do not know. It would only help you if you would stop and ask and listen and try to understand how are they making the decisions they're making to quietly quit.
Yeah. And so any business owner that's listening right now, that has customers knows that how humans make decisions is such a mystery, right? Daniel Kahneman wrote Thinking Fast and Slow, Nobel Prize winner of that. And it was basically the conclusion, and I'm grossly summarizing this, was there is no rational logic to follow on why people make decisions. And so everything's different. There's so many different factors that go into all that. I think there's some managers now and business owners that are starting to see that, just going, oh, even my employees and the people on my team make decisions for reasons that on the surface are very different than me, that don't seem rational, but we can't be surprised by that. I mean, we've always kind of known that. We can't even describe and explain perfectly why. Like, why did I decide to have a bar this morning for breakfast and not a bagel? I don't know, right? I really don't know, and I can't explain it, and I don't even want to. I just did. And so a lot of that is playing out in this too.
One other thing about this, Adam, what would you say to somebody that would go, well, are we sure this is true? Do we know that every 28-year-old has quietly quit? What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I would say no. It is certainly a trending topic right now. It's fun to talk about. But it's not everyone. I mean, I just think of some of the younger leaders that I've been talking with over the last 3 or 4 weeks. We're not talking about how to do the bare minimum. We're talking about how we can continue to get better, how we can continue to grow in their career. We even referenced on an episode recently about the book that David and I wrote with The Edge, because we believe there's a market out there of a lot of young leaders that still want to stand out and get ahead. And so this isn't everyone. This is just some people, and it may not be true for everyone. But that's why it's so important to ask and listen and talk to see if this even recognizes or if this resonates with the people on your team. So just recognize things are different. You got to ask and listen, try to figure out what are people valuing? How do they think about their career? And then the third one, I'll just quote the great Barbara Bush. The third idea is just this idea of compromise, where she just said, compromise is not a dirty word. And I don't think anybody in this current situation, labor market, nobody's going to get 100% of their way. Maybe there'll be a few people out there that just go, no, it's my way or the highway, and I'm going to fire everybody that doesn't adapt. Great. you're going to end up doing all the work, right? So if you want to make that trade, great, more power to you. You can do whatever you want with all that. But I just think in the end, like most things in life, we're going to have to, it will involve some aspect of compromise and give and take.
I love the idea of adapting, that I do think we're going to, I mean, it's just a synonym for compromise. We're going to have to adapt. We're going to have to compromise. And again, for those people that just want to, you know, bury your head in the sand and go, well, screw this. I don't care if that's the way people are. They're not going to work for me, or they're not going to work with me, or whatever. And again, to your point, you can do that. Especially if you own your own business, you know, you can decide, all right, if I find anybody's going to quietly quitting, I'm just going to fire them. I'm only going to hire people that are going to subscribe to the hustle culture. And to your point too, you can find people that can do that. I mean, I talked to a leader recently who said, you know, one thing we've done is we've just decided, all right, we're going to find those old souls. We're going to find those 28-year-olds that still subscribe to that hustle culture, because clearly there's nothing wrong with it. It just may not be as true as it once was, and it may not be as prevalent as it once was. But learning to go, all right, if I want to build this as big as I can, if I want to attract as many people as I can, I'm going to have to adapt. And so some of the ways we adapt, you know, obviously the hybrid work culture, so many leaders have realized, all right, I've got to find a new way to create a great culture when people aren't in the office all the time. It might be the way people dress. The same attorney buddy of mine, he started telling me all the ways that they've adapted. He said, I stepped onto an elevator last week and I looked at, he said, when I started, my first 10 years of working at this firm, it was suit and tie every day.
Every day.
He said, I get on this elevator, it's like 4 o'clock on a Tuesday. I'm wearing jeans and some workout shirt, and another partner gets on and he's wearing jeans and a Guns N' Roses t-shirt. And he was like, man, things have changed, right? Yeah. I mean, they have adapted, right? That they have made some compromises. And then this situation that you referenced a few minutes ago, I was talking to a general manager of a golf club who he manages all their hospitality side. And he said, you know, what I've had to do is I've had to decide, all right, we're only going to hire part-time people. So we're going to make every role part-time. And so, which is in some ways more work, instead of hiring 70 people, we're going to have to hire 140 people. But what we've done is we've just decided to say there is no job that cannot be part-time. Every job can be part-time because of how many people are going, I don't want to work 60 hours. I don't want to work 40 hours. I want to work 25 hours. And so they've adapted and said, all right, we're going to allow people to do that without compromising the quality of our work.
That's good. Okay. Well, you know, again, big conversation. Hopefully this is something, if you're managing a team, you suspect there may be some quiet quitters on your team. How can you continue to manage and lead with excellence in this current environment? Just recognizing things are different for now, may not be this way forever, but this is where we are today. Does you no good to just stick your head in the sand, just start moving forward. Biggest thing here, asking and listening, trying to figure out what do people want out of their career and how are they thinking about their career. And then the last item is just, there's going to have to be some compromise. So adaptability, compromising, trying to figure out ways that you can all work well together. I think that's a good start for some of this. So Clay, next episode, we're going to come back and we're going to talk to the young emerging leader that maybe has quit quietly, and how can they say no, and what are some ways that they can talk about having healthy boundaries at work. So we'll talk about that next week. But Clay, as always, great to be with you today.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
Well, that's all we got for today's episode of the How to Lead podcast. You can always reach out to us via email. We can be reached at info@howtolead.work. That's info@howtolead.work. Every episode is mixed and edited by the team over at Sound of a Rose. You can learn more about them at soundofarose.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.